Well, we had some windstorm the other day, didn't we? Did you notice the tree that fell down? And I had all the roofers call and leave messages on the phone. Now, we noticed your roof has got shingles missing. It's amazing. I didn't think it was that visible, but boy, is it ever. But my prayer is, brothers and sisters, that there'll be another wind that blows. The wind of the Holy Spirit will just blow right into this place, and trust that the Lord will shake us up and stir us up. Amen. Last week, we talked about David's son Solomon, that he was called to build the temple, and we talked about his life. And I want to bring a conclusion this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes, a book we don't hear much from these days, it seems. But if you have your Bibles, we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We'll look at the first 11 verses. And I've entitled this message, Solomon, the Greatest Enigma. Solomon, the Greatest Enigma. Second, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, please. And we want to read together. And I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad or crazy. And of mirth, what do with it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Yet, acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven of the days of their lives. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees and them all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maids and servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions. Notice, great possessions of great and small. Cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and soever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Notice verse 11 now. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done or wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon, the great enigma. What do I mean by that? Solomon is one of the most difficult and perhaps the hardest person to fully understand when it comes to Bible characters for so many different reasons, because Solomon had such a great beginning. If there's a theme this morning, it would be, it's not how well you start, but how you finish that matters. Solomon had a great beginning. Nobody was ever blessed more than King Solomon. We talked about it last week. God called Solomon to build the temple. David gave the reins and passed the torch. Solomon was blessed by God. And what I want to do before we begin to dissect this text here in Ecclesiastes 2, I want us to just a brief background of who Solomon is and how well he started, because it's very important that we understand that. 1 Kings chapter 3, George, if you look at verse number 3, I want you to see how Solomon begins. Solomon was the son of David. And Solomon, notice, he loved God. He loved the Lord. He walked in the ways of David, his father, verse number 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. He sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. Back then, in that day, they would sacrifice things. And the more they sacrificed, it was almost like an element of how much they loved God. And it seems that Solomon had a deep love for the Lord. Verse number 5. Watch this. And so in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Notice, the Lord appeared to Solomon as a result of his commitment to God. God will come and appear himself to those who are committed to himself. He will show himself strong to those whose hearts are committed to him. And that's what happened. Solomon's heart was committed to the Lord. And the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said to him, all right, Solomon, what do you want? Ask anything. This is God speaking to Solomon. Solomon's ways please the Lord. And God appears to him, reveals himself to him. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercies, according to as he walked before the Lord in truth, in righteousness, and uprightness of heart. And thou hast kept him from this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on this throne to this very day. So Solomon acknowledges that God had promoted Solomon, that God had put Solomon to be the king. He acknowledges this. Verse number 6 and verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to come in or go out. Solomon, this man that God has blessed with great wisdom, says, I don't know very much. We notice his humility. We notice his contrition of heart. He's humble. He says, Lord, I don't know very much. Lord, I need your help. Verse number 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Lord, we were just a handful, but you have promoted, you have blessed our people, you have blessed Israel, you have done so much, O Lord. So therefore, give thy servant understanding. Help me to judge these people. Help me to discern. Help me be a good king. Help me to be just, to be righteous, to be a man of integrity, he says, that I might discern between good and evil. Who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. Solomon pleased God. And Solomon had asked this thing, and God gave him so much more. What did God give him? God gave him understanding to discern and protection against the enemies. Look what it says in verse 11, verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy works. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like you, neither after you or before you, Solomon. God had blessed this man beyond comprehension. I need you to understand this. It is very important that we understand this, because my title says, The Enigma of Solomon. Why an enigma? Well, we know that Solomon had a great beginning. But my friends, a great beginning is just that, a great beginning. How many people do you know who have had great beginnings, but over a period of time have faded away? How many people do I know that used to raise their hands praising the Lord, giving glory to God? My God, they were so involved. All of a sudden, I don't see them anymore. They're not around anymore. They have faded away and evaporated. In the thinness of the air, they had a great beginning, but not a great ending. Jesus says that you are blessed, those who endure to the end. God has called us to endure. God has called us upon this spiritual race that we are in. We are in a journey. Being a Christian, following the things of God is not a 100-meter dash. We are in a long-distance marathon. And it's very easy to start well. When you run a marathon race, everybody starts well. You don't collapse after a minute. You're all running well. But when you get to the 10th mile, the 15th mile, the 18th mile, the 20th mile, my God, the 26th mile, some of us fade away. It's too tough. It's difficult. Your muscles cramp. Your legs hurt. Your body aches. You're sweating profusely. You might say, how do you know? Because I've ran a marathon. I know. I know. It's not how well you start. Solomon had so much money, the Bible says, that he would make Donald Trump, Howard Hughes, if you're old enough to know who he is, and Bill Gates look like paupers on the street begging for money. He had so much money, it was obscene. The Bible, scholars have tried to figure it out. He had so much money, you could not count how much money he had. You can't count it. He had more money than nations do today. And I'm talking about rich nations. It's hard to describe how much God had blessed this man. It's indescribable, the blessing that Solomon had. Now, unfortunately, as Solomon got older, he found himself in despair. He found himself on a journey for several years. And in this journey, something happened to him. Something happened to Solomon over a period of time. Somehow during his course with the Lord, his spiritual race, as we've just talked about, something happened to Solomon. He started doing things and he started getting off track. When you're running a marathon, you got to make sure you're focused, because it's very easy to get distracted for several reasons, because it's a long distance affair. Solomon got distracted in this race, and there's many reasons. We're going to be looking at some of them. And so in this journey, Solomon writes this book. And this is the book of Ecclesiastes we just read. The book of Ecclesiastes is a journal, if you will, of his experiences, of what happened to him later on in his life. He wrote this book later on in his life. And he has some interesting nuggets spiritually that will help us understand and encourage us, especially for some of us who've been in this race for a long time, especially for some of us who might feel discouraged this morning. As we look into this book of Ecclesiastes, we have so much to learn. And so Solomon is not going to take us too far, but he's going to take us through the experiences that he had in this book. And so let's look at some principles this morning as we dissect this book to give us understanding of what's going on in his life. I'll give you some principles that begin with A. Notice number one, what does Solomon say? Solomon says, I thought I can find meaning in life, verse number 1 to 11, by accumulating a lot of pleasures, by having a worldly attitude, a lot of pleasure. He says in verse number 1 and 2 and 3, I've had so much. Give me some of the scriptures. I said in my heart, I will prove thee mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasures. Solomon is saying, oh, I had a lot of pleasures. Man, I had so much pleasures. I had all these women, all this money, all this fun. But behold, it was vanity. It meant nothing. It satisfied me for the moment, but it still left me empty. Verse number 2. Look at all this stuff I had. I had all this laughter and ha-ha and fun and games, parties, laughter. Nothing wrong with laughter, but some laughter isn't good, if you know what I mean. I just laughed my way through one party after another, enjoying life, enjoying the pleasures of this world. Verse number 3, I said in my heart, I will give myself to wine. I got drunk here, I drank here, I lived after one party, after one experience, after another. Verse number 4, I made great works. I built big houses. I had all these vineyards. I had so many things in this world. So much. Verse 6. I made pools of water. I had pools. I had people coming to my pool to swim. Waters there with woods. I had all these forests. I had a great garden. I had a beautiful orchard. Stalls. Horses and servants. I had so many servants born in my house and outside of all kinds. So much possessions, cattle everywhere. Everybody knew who I was in Jerusalem. I gathered silver and gold and treasures. I had worship leaders, singers. I had praisers. I had all kinds of instruments. I had a great band. At my parties, I'd bring these musicians, and we had all kinds of parties with all kinds of the latest instruments and all kinds of dancing and revelry. I had it all. Everything. Verse 9. I was great. Man, I was, people knew me from everywhere. I was increased. I had so much, I didn't know what to do with it. But verse 11 says, but I looked around and I worked so hard and I realized something. Everything meant nothing. It's all vanity. I did it all for my flesh, but my spirit was empty. There's no profit. Oh, I had the world, but there was no profit. What profits a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Had a lot of pleasure. Solomon says, I thought I can find meaning in life by pleasures. He had a worldly attitude. He had a worldly attitude. He says here in the NIV, he says, it's like grasping for the wind. Like grasping for the wind. He said, this life is like, you ever try to grasp wind? You can't grasp wind. Doesn't go anywhere. I found everything to be futile and pursuit of the wind. You ever try to grasp sand? If you go to the beach and you pick up some sand and you try to squeeze the sand, you can't. It seeps through your fingers. That's what Solomon is saying. I wasn't really getting anywhere. I was losing everything. So he says, I thought I can find meaning in life with a lot of pleasure, having this worldly mindset. Number two, then Solomon says, look, I can find meaning in life through accomplishments, through doing things. Notice principles that begin with A and W, accomplishments. Let me be a doer. Let me get out and do things. I'm going to be a great builder. I'm going to be somebody who's going to work here and get over here and do something over there. I'm going to have all these buildings. And every time people look around, they're going to say, oh, look who built that building. It was Solomon. Look how great he is. That's what Donald Trump of that day. I'm not coming against him. I'm just saying Donald Trump in the sense that he's got buildings everywhere. The Trump building here, another Trump building over there. And that is making him look really great and powerful. That's what Solomon was doing. All these buildings, these houses. Look at Solomon, what he's done. Look how great he is. Wow. All these accomplishments. And you know, I was thinking about this. George, if you can take me to 1 Kings, please, chapter 6, verse 38. I saw something a few years ago that I believe bears a repeating. I've shared this, but I really believe I need to share it again. And I saw this. I never really heard it. I just saw this. And I saw something I believe was very interesting and really was a picture of what was going on in Solomon's heart. Watch this now. In the 11th year, the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof according to all the fashion of it. So it was 7 years. Solomon finished building the temple of the Lord in 7 years. You got that? 7 years. Do you have that? Can you give me the next verse, George? Look at the difference. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years. Excuse me? Let me get this right. 7 years building the house of the Lord, but 13 years building his own house? Do you see a problem with that? I do. How many people build their own house and spend more time building their own house and just give God the leftovers? Just think about it for a moment. We always have time to build our own house, but we're always too busy to build God's house. Always. And I see a nugget. I see something deep here. I see the root of something. I see somebody who's more concerned about his own house. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a nice house as long as a nice house doesn't have you. Solomon thought he can find meaning in life by getting a lot of pleasure and a lot of things. He thought he can find meaning in life by accomplishing certain things. He was so focused in this world, he was naturally minded. And that's a problem when you're supposed to be a man of God, because God wants us to be spiritually minded. Not earthly minded. Set your affections on things above, God says. Listen, my friends, if I'm wrong about God, then I've wasted my life. Oh yeah, maybe. But you, sir, Mr. Atheist, if you're wrong about God, then you've wasted an eternity. And Solomon was wasting an eternity because all he was doing was focusing on the things of this world. His own house. So let me build up more my things, my kingdom, what I want to do. And he concludes, however, that it was all vanity anyway. You know, there's some people, all they do is work and work and work and work. You ever even notice there's some people, all they do is work? Why do they work so hard? Maybe they're trying to escape something. Maybe they're trying not to face reality. I know some people, all they do is work. They can never be alone. They can never stay in a room. You ever see people in the elevator? Oh, they get so nervous. It's the worst place to be in an elevator. You know, they're looking around. Can't stand to be alone. We go in our houses. We're alone. And what do? Open the TV. Or open the radio. Or just got to hear something. Got to see something. We can't stand to be alone. So to avoid being alone, I got to do something. So let me build this house. Let me go out and do this. We're always doing, some of us, things just so we won't be alone. Or we just can't stand the thought of being idle. Because maybe when you aren't doing anything, you can start reflecting of what's really going on in your life. And you don't want to think about it. So let me be busy and not think about it at all. I know some people like that. Solomon was like that. I find meaning in life by doing all this stuff, getting myself busy all the time. Then he said, no, that's all vanity. Number three, then Solomon said, if I can only do something more, if I can somehow accumulate more wealth, he says, I'm going to find meaning in life. If I can somehow accumulate more wealth, maybe if I become richer, I'll find a purpose in my life. Maybe if I get more money, I can be happier. I can be fulfilled. If I can just accumulate more wealth, if I can accomplish more works, if I can have a lot of pleasure, if I can have a worldly attitude, I can find meaning in life. Meaning in life, like the Greek Epicureans, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Doesn't matter about tomorrow. All that matters is what goes on here on this earth. All that matters is I can just live my life to the moment and have my fun here. That's all that matters, because tomorrow doesn't matter. You see, people who live like that have no concept of eternity. So they live for the moment. That's what Solomon was going through. I'll find meaning in life. And so after Solomon gets it all, the richest man that ever lived, he files a report in verse number 11. He says, I've tried it all, folks, but it brings emptiness. Everything is vexation of spirit. All this money I had, all these buildings I've had, all this fame I had, it's all vanity. It means nothing. My spirit is still empty. Solomon says, if I can just get to the next level, I'll find something in my life that can satisfy me. You see, my friends, the truth is, If you're living like that, you'll never be satisfied. There'll always be a need for more. Let me ask you, when is enough enough? Elvis Presley, some of you might know him or heard of him, of course. He died not too long ago in the 70s, late 70s, but I was kind of raised with his music in some respects. And Elvis had a great beginning, and he actually would sing gospel music. And something happened to Elvis Presley. Do you know that Elvis Presley has a religion? Do you know that if you Google Elvis Presley, there's actually a religion called Elvis? That's how famous and popular. People worshipped him. Don't believe me, check it out yourself. They worship. Elvis Presley is the most, nobody is impersonated more than Elvis Presley and Michael Jackson, but Elvis Presley is more. Everywhere you go, there's an Elvis impersonator. You know that? Everywhere. You go to Collingwood up here north, here to Northern Ontario. You go to Guam, you'll find an Elvis impersonator. It's just the way it is. He's worshipped, was worshipped, and is worshipped today. He had so much money, he had so much fame, but he was a miserable human being. He took drugs to go to bed, couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep. He took drugs to get up in the morning, couldn't get up. He took drugs during the day just to couldn't get up. Couldn't function without chemicals. They found over 100 different chemicals in his body through drugs when he died. Over 100. He was a mess. The most famous man at that time that ever lived. Marilyn Monroe, the same thing. Michael Jackson, the same thing. Do you see a common thread here? People who live extravagantly in this world, people who try to satisfy their flesh in these ways that we are learning this morning, will end up in absolute disaster, because there's nothing in this physical realm that can satisfy your soul. And so Solomon makes a conclusion. George, can you give me Ecclesiastes 12, please? This is a journal. This is his work after he's writing this book later on in life after all these experiences. It's a book to teach us something, to prepare us for something. It's in a sense, it's a book that will tell us how to live and to be careful to put God first. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Verse 13 and 14, Joe, George. And here is the conclusion of Solomon, his last words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring into judgment every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon finally concludes after all this quest for happiness and fulfillment. He realizes, I've made a big mistake, he says. I've wasted my life. And what he wants to do now is he wants to speak to the young people. He wants to give a message to the young people. Because he remembers when he was young, he would serve the Lord with all of his heart. And something happened to Solomon that distracted him, that got him off track. And he wants the young people to know something. George, bring me back to that verse again. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. So now he addresses the young people. So young people, listen carefully. Young adults, listen carefully. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Solomon said, listen, I lived a long time. I want you to know, young people, don't make the mistake that I've made. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In other words, serve Him while you're young. Because you know what? When you get older, it's going to be harder. You don't believe me? Statistics say that most people come to Christ before the age of 20. Very few after 20. Facts. Why? Because when you're young, you're more open. You're more sensitive. The older you get, the more set in your ways you get. It becomes more difficult to serve the Lord, to make changes. Solomon says, listen, I've made those mistakes. Serve the Lord while you're young. Remember your Creator. What do you think the communion service we just had? It's the same thing. Remember. Remember. Do this in remembrance of me. We just read it. We just experienced it. Remember what? What Jesus did for you and me. Solomon is saying the same thing. Remember. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, all and forget not all of his benefits. How many people seem to forget what God has done in your life as you get older? You get harder. You get harder. Remember when you were young. Be careful. Young people don't think about eternal things. They think about enjoying their flesh. They think about enjoying life now, about now, living in the moment. Now, now, now. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now. I don't care about tomorrow. Now. Solomon says, don't do that. You'll regret it, he says. Number two. Then Solomon says, not only remember your creator, my second R, you need to make a resolution. You got to resolve something. Not just remember, you got to take it deeper. You got to resolve to serve him. You got to serve him. He says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, fear God and keep his commandments. Don't play games with God. Serve God. Serve God. Don't do what I did. He said in Proverbs 4, in his better days, Solomon wrote, the path of the just shineth more and more unto that perfect day. And what he means is, renew yourself every day in the Lord. You see, if you renew yourself every day, you're gonna get stronger and stronger. But if you put it off, you're gonna get colder and colder. The goal of every Christian is to get stronger and stronger. The problem is that doesn't usually happen as you get older. You get weaker and weaker. Some of us, not all of us. And Solomon is saying, don't make that mistake like I did. Do this. Let this be your goal. That the path should shine more and more. Become stronger and stronger like good wine. Let the wine get stronger to the end, the last. Let it become stronger. The older the wine, the stronger, the better it is. That's a picture of you and me. We should be getting stronger and stronger, better and better. Don't make the mistake. Don't get off track. Renew your life. That's why we pray for revival. God, renew us, Lord. Revive us. Rejuvenate us. Don't just start well. You must end well. Solomon is looking back and he's saying, my goodness, I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. I should have kept serving the Lord. While I was young, I should have kept that youthful spirit in my life, but I got off track. I was dissuaded. I was compromising. I had problems and I started to get my eyes off God and got worse and worse. And I've made those mistakes. You need to resolve to keep following God. Don't turn back. Friends, I'm going to save you the round trip. I will. If you want to end up where Solomon ended up, then you leave God out of your plans. But if you want to please the Lord, and you better put God in all of your plans. How many times have you heard me say, write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser? Stop making plans and stop telling, I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this and I'm going to do and I'm going to do and I'm going to do, and you don't even think about what God wants. How many Christians just make all kinds of plans? I'm going to get this and I'm going to do that and I'm getting married here and I'm doing it. Wait, but have you prayed about it? Have you consulted God about it? We are not supposed to take the driving steering wheel and drive that car for the rest of our lives. Yes, we are in that car, but it is God who steers that car, my friend. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these things unto you. Solomon is saying, make God a priority in your life. If you leave him out, you'll end up regretting it terribly. The point is, you will discover this, my friend, sooner or later, that the purpose of life, the meaning of life, is when you put God first, you'll find fulfillment and purpose and destiny. Listen to me, friends. Without God, we are nothing. We are empty. Listen, we are like cups without saucers. We are like violins without bows. Unless we have God to accompany us and to fulfill us, we are just like a bow without a violin. Nothing. Empty. George, can you give me Ecclesiastes 3:11, the NIV version, please? Here is what Solomon concludes. He has made everything appropriate in its time. Did you see that? God's working it out. Just trust Him. He has put eternity in their hearts. What? Man cannot discover the work of God has done beginning to the end. What? That means that God has put something in your heart. Eternity. God has put something in you. This searching. This quest. You see, it was in Solomon, but he went about it the wrong way. How many people are searching? How many people are striving? How many people are trying to find their purpose in life, but they end up taking wrong turns? They go to drugs or sexual deviance or any kind of hindrance, things that displease God. Any other areas to fill that void, and they try to fill it, but it ends up going nowhere. More depressed, more discouraged. Drugs, alcohol, trying to fill that void God has put in you. This void for only God's presence can fill that void. Oh, by the way, your husband can't fill it. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, sir, your wife can't fill it either. What do you mean, Pastor? Let me tell you something. Do you know how many people I've married who say to me, oh, I'm getting married, and my husband, oh, he's just going to meet all my needs. My wife going to meet. We're going to just live. You know, we think that somehow this man, this woman is going to come to me with a great big shining armor. Oh, he's got a big sword. Well, there he comes on a white horse. And he's coming into my life. And he's going to sweep me off my feet like they do in Walt Disney. And they do in the movies. And he's going to carry me. And the music is going to ride. And the sun. And he's going to bring me to what? Are you kidding me? You'll find out. You'll wake up beside that person when you get married. And you'll find out he snores like everybody else. I'm just having fun. But it's true, isn't it? No man, no woman can fulfill the emptiness or that search. That they can be good people. They can be godly people, and they could be exactly what God wants for you. But that person cannot do what only the Spirit of God can do. I love my wife, but she can't fulfill my heart. Only to a degree. And last time I checked, I'm the same way with her. But that doesn't mean we don't have a good marriage or you can't have a good... Of course you can. But don't think that somebody is going to come and now you're going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. And it doesn't work like that. Only God can fulfill the hearts of men. How many people spend all of their time trying to make a living, but they never really live? The Bible says that only through God, that the Bible is the mirror of our souls, the blueprint of life. We need to examine ourselves whether our lives have meaning or not. We need to look within. That's why I asked us to look within our hearts this morning. How is it with your soul? Let me tell you something. Mother Teresa once said, I love what she says. She says, I would rather live my life as if there is a God and die to find out that there isn't than to live as if there isn't a God and to die and find out that there is. Wow. How true is that? Nobody on their deathbed about to die says to who's ever talking to them, oh, you know what? I wish I spent more time at the office. What? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's That's what Solomon is saying. I spent too much time in the office. I wish I spent more time with my family and spent more time the way I lived in my youth, serving God and really helping people. You know, my wife told me a story. She used to be a nurse's aide in Montreal at the Montreal General Hospital, and she was feeding this old man in his 80s. She used to feed people. He was a great, like a nurse's aide. And she told me a story where she was feeding this man. He was very gaunt, and he couldn't eat, really. He just ate very slowly, and, you know, he was about to die, really. And she said that she was talking to him, and all of a sudden his eyes just opened up, like became like saucers. She noticed what the man was, couldn't even move. And he started to look up towards the ceiling, and he just moved his head like this. And his eyes were bulging. And she said, what's the matter? He says, I see. He saw, my wife can explain it better than I am right now, like an angel or even the Lord. I'm not sure exactly what, but he saw a spiritual being, and he knew that his time had come. And my wife saw his, she says, it was incredible. And then he died. God took him home. He saw something in the spirit realm. And my wife told me, he says, you know, Dino, that story is a picture that there's more to this world, isn't there? My friends, there's a spiritual world out there. What profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Stop wasting your time trying to figure out living this world. Always, we need to live in this world. I understand that. We need to buy homes. I understand. We need to work. I understand all that. But don't be overly consumed with these things. Remember your youth. Make a resolution. Renew each day. What are we learning? What are we learning? What happened to Solomon? Listen, friends, no man ever experienced the blessings of God like Solomon. He was the wisest and wealthiest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. People would travel for miles just to hear him speak. The Queen of Sheba. You know, there are Jews in Ethiopia. And this is facts. I watched a documentary, and it's biblical anyway, that Solomon must have had a relationship with her. She's from Ethiopia. And there was, of course, children. And in Ethiopia, there are Jews that come from that lineage from the days of Solomon. Facts. You can Google that and check it for yourself. It's a fact. People would come from miles and miles to hear this man speak. When he spoke, you would think like God was speaking. That's how wise he was. God had given him supernatural abilities. Supernatural. What happened to Solomon? With all of this success, he failed. With all of this success, Solomon failed. What a travesty. What an enigma. That's why I got my title. Nothing wrong with success. As long as success doesn't have you. See, God can bless you. That's good. But if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we can get off track. Because we have a will. And your will can cause problems. Because God doesn't force anybody to do anything. It's always, if you will, choose you this day. And that happens for the rest of your life. Solomon made three mistakes before we close that we want to look at. Number one, first mistake he had, give you principles that begin with L. He loved wealth. He loved money. And money isn't the sin. The love of money is the sin. We all need money. It's the love of money. Solomon loved money. You love money, you are digging a huge pit that you're going to fall into. You love money, it's going to control your life. going to control you. Solomon taxed his people severely. Deuteronomy 17, the Bible says that a king should not multiply in wealth. He did that. He should not multiply in women. He did that. Solomon disobeyed everything that God asked him because he loved this world and he loved money and he loved pleasure. And too many people keep their eyes on what they don't have instead of keeping their eyes on what they have. Oh, I wish I had more, and I wish I did, and I don't have. Look what he has. Stop looking at what you don't have and start thanking God for what you have. My God. Love of money. Second mistake Solomon makes. The lust for women. 1 Kings chapter 11. Can you get that now, George? You still can't get it. You got it now? Okay. 1 Kings 11 verses 1 and 4. Look what happens to Solomon. But King Solomon loved. What? Many strange women. What does that mean, strange women? That means non-Hebrews, okay? Non-Jews. These are like women that were of the world, you know? You know who they are. They loved them. Oh, yeah. He loved these type of women. The daughters of Pharaoh, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zenonites, the Hittites, and the Parasites. All there. And termites to boot. Got some termites? Bring them in there. All kinds of ites. You got them all there, they're there. That's what he loved. Every ite you can find. For it came to pass when Solomon was young. Is that what it says? When he was what? Old. Solomon backslid when he was 62 years old. What? He got older and he got weird. Does that mean I'm getting weird? That's what my wife tells me. Okay, I gotta watch it now. But he got older and his heart turned. He started loving these women and started loving things. What are you doing? It turned his heart away to other gods. Did you see that? He started to serve other gods. How can you? Look what God has done for you. He even appeared to you, Solomon. His heart was not perfect for the Lord anymore, like his father's. My God. He loved women. He had a lust after women. He had 700 wives. I got to loosen my tie here because I think it's 700 wives. 700 wives. 700. And 300 others to bring the dessert home. I don't know. Whatever it was. 1,000 women at his exposure. 1,000 women. What are you going to do with 1,000 women? You're 62 years old. Go play bingo if you like. Had a lust for women. He had a love for money. And as a result, he was lured away because of his compromise. Lured. George, can you give me verse 23 and 25 of 1 Kings 11? Look how he was lured. Look what the Bible says. And God stirred up another adversary. You see, didn't God say, I will protect you if you follow me? Look what happens now. An enemy came against Solomon. Verse 25, another enemy came against Solomon. Enemy over Syria came to destroy Solomon. Wow. The only legacy he left was a son who was more foolish than him. Through his son, the kingdom was split in half. Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Well, Rehoboam. Rehoboam came on the scene, the son of Solomon, and destroyed the kingdom. Jeroboam. All through Solomon's lineage. because he disobeyed God. Did not God say in 1 Kings 3, if you follow me, I'll place a protection, your territory, there'll be someone on your throne forever, and there'll be no enemies that will come against you. But he opened the door through compromise. One little small leak became a crack, and a crack became a huge wedge. And it doesn't take a big leak to sink a ship. It takes one small leak, and before you know it, the ship goes down. Application, George. What do we learn as we close this morning? What do we learn? What do we learn by way of application today? If you're taking notes, you're in the right session today. Number one, he had prominence, but his prominence could not fulfill his heart. He was famous. People are looking for fame and fortune. They think they can find it if they're famous. They think they can find it if they get prominence. It doesn't happen. If you don't believe me, ask Elvis Presley. Ask Michael Jackson. Ask Marilyn Monroe. Ask Robin Williams, the great comedian. Took his own life. He was depressed. And I feel so bad, but I'm only telling you the truth. Robin Williams arguably is one of the great comedians of our day. He was miserable and depressed. Solomon had prominence, but he had emptiness. Then he said, if I can just do more things. He had performance principles that begin with P. Performance. But he failed God after a lifetime of accomplishments. Imagine that. He built all these homes and all these buildings. All these works, he built the seventh ancient wonder of the world, the temple. But he blew it. He had performance. He had prominence. He had a position. This was the king. He was a king and he was still empty. He was a king. He can have anything he wants, but he had nothing. Because his heart was empty. They only satisfied, but there is things that pacify that will never satisfy. And then he had privileges. God visited him, gave him dreams, blessed him, the privileges that only God can give, but he threw them away. And then finally he had pedigree. He was the son of a great king, David. The son of David. Chosen by God. Had a great pedigree. But he didn't walk in the ways of the Lord. He had all this great opportunity, position, prominence, performance, pedigree, everything. But he threw it away because he was lured by the ways of the world, lured by the lust of women, lured by the pleasures of this world, lured away. Making concessions, a little crack at a time, a bit at a time. He didn't follow the Lord fully. He had a great beginning, but he didn't end well. George, can you give me 1 Kings as we close chapter 2, verses 1 and 3? Solomon didn't finish his course. Here's what he says. David said to his son, now the days of David drew nigh. He was about to die, and he gave a charge to his son Solomon, saying, Solomon, if you keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all of their heart and with all of their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Verse 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab... Okay, that's fine, George. David said before he died, Solomon, my son, please be courageous. Be courageous. Follow the Lord despite the circumstances. Have conviction. Follow the Lord. Don't give up no matter what's around you. Trust in the Lord and be a person of character. Be a man of integrity. Keep the Lord first in your life and God will bless you all the days. And Solomon did not. He didn't. There were no excuses. He wasn't a derelict. He didn't have anything and everything, but it wasn't good enough. Why? Because things cannot fulfill you. Only God can. Can we stand together, please? I know that some of you have to go. It is late. I understand. And if you must go, God bless you. We love you. We really do. We don't just say those words flippantly. We mean it. We love you. And you have a wonderful afternoon. The blessing of God be with you. But if you can just stay here just a few moments. A few moments. We need to examine ourselves. I want to start what I finished earlier when I asked the question, do you know God? Do you know Him? And I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you do not know Him, I want you to be able to respond to this, that you would give your life to the Lord. Because there's no fulfillment outside of God in your life. I don't care what you do. Nobody did more things than Solomon, yet he was empty. Nobody had more things than Solomon, yet he was empty. That applies to you and me today. If you don't know God, and you want to know Him, every head bowed, please. If you're searching for something, if you're searching for fulfillment in your life, only God can bring fulfillment in your life. I tell you, I promise you, I lay my life down for that truth. Only God can bring peace in your life. Only God. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to say, Lord, I need you to come in my life, Lord. I'm searching and I haven't found. I need you. I need you to be real in my life. Real. I want you to be real in my life. If that's you, raise your hand real high. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? A few, two or three hands up. I see your hand. Thank you. If you raised your hand and you mean it, I want you to repeat after me this prayer, because you need to pray. I need to pray for you. And I want you to repeat these words, or at least three hands that were raised. I'm not going to invite you to come forward at this point. I just want you to pray. Please bow your head and pray with me. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm searching for truth. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes unto the Father but by me. Come into my heart, Lord. Cleanse me of my sin. Wash me. Forgive me for putting you aside. Come into my heart now. Help me to make you a priority in my life, to put you first. Thank you for dying for me. Come into my heart now, I pray. Bring peace into my life and set me free in Jesus' name. For the rest of us, just look at me for a second. We have different groups of people here today. Some richer, some poor, black, white, yellow, red, all different colors, brown. Doesn't matter. We're all one before the Lord. We're all equal, friends. We all stand before Him the same way. All of us. Solomon teaches us that life, no matter what you have, is still empty unless God fills. And you can be in the church for a long time and still be empty here. Because it's not a relationship with the church that you need, it's a relationship with God that you need. And I want to leave you this morning with that truth. You put God first in your life every day. You get up in the morning and you surrender your life to God each day. Solomon tells us to renew our walk with Him. Renew it every day. Don't you go to work or school or anything without spending time, even if it's just a few minutes. Make it right. You've done something wrong to somebody, make it right. Don't let bitterness come to rob you. Solomon ended up becoming bitter and cynical. Don't let that happen to you. You pray every day. You put God first. Make things right with people. Bless people. And be honest and be a man of integrity. And God will honor you and bless you all the days of your life. I'm going to invite us, those that can stay, to come and worship the Lord with me. I'm going to invite you to come and worship God and give Him thanks. Give Him thanks for what you have. Those that must go, God bless you. We love you. But if you want to just praise the Lord and give thanks to the Lord for who He is and what He's done in your life, why don't you come now to the altar and let's praise and worship the Lord together. God bless you. We love you. And we give God all the glory.